I'm going to change the topic just a little bit. We have been looking at what I believe is some of the most powerful verses of the Bible that one man has written to another. Last week, we took the time and we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, to look at the proof of the resurrection of the Christ, of Jesus of Nazareth. How a centurion, a Roman centurion non-believer, testified that he died. How he was put into a tomb that was guarded. And yet, on the third day, the tomb was empty. We looked at the proof of the resurrection of Christ, verses 1 through 11. It is an error not to go ahead and look at the consequences of denying that resurrection of Christ. Now, the topic under discussion was on resurrection. What happens when one dies? Well, there was a lot of Greek thought that said, well, you die, your spirit is absorbed in the universe. Kind of like a Hindu in thought. There was another philosophy, Greek philosophy, that the spirit upon death just goes. Just goes. Where's the hope? Where's the promise? So this morning we're going to look at verses 12 through 19. We're going to look at the consequences for denying the resurrection and the resurrection of Christ. Verses 12 through 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Reminder that the text on the board is thank you. the ESV version. And so we may read a little bit differently than the King James, American Standard, or the text you might be using. If you have a comment question, Kevin has the mic. If you'll raise your hand, he'll be able to record that. I do want to tell you that, just as a reminder, that the people behind you cannot hear you. Even Denny, with his big booming voice, it's hard to hear somebody whose voice is projected this way. So raise your hand, we'll get the mic to you, and that way we can all participate. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can any of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, Did Paul write in there? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ, has been raised. Verse 13. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people the most pitied. So we want to take a few moments to just kind of look at this thought, this argument that Paul is making, and how strong that argument is. If Christ is now proclaimed. And last week we talked about, reviewed some of the testimony that had been given. It's not just the testimony of the apostles. It was not just the testimony of believers. It was also the testimony of unbelievers. But the bottom line was, nobody could get over the empty tomb. Barbara, you can't explain it away. Even when you try to bribe the guards that they're going to lose their own life, that somebody stole the body. You can't get over the empty tomb. Now we're looking at the other side of the coin. If Christ, who is proclaimed to be raised from the dead, but there's no resurrection of the dead, then he wasn't raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then indeed, their preaching is in vain. Why was Paul and the apostles, why do we teach if Christ is not raised from the dead? Kevin, isn't there something else you could do on a Sunday morning? Isn't there something else? Well, you can prepare for the ball game. You can prepare to go fishing. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then what value is it? That's the argument that Paul is making. Our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. These people to whom he was writing were believers. He had already taught them. He had already... What was it we talked about in chapter 1, chapter 2, about baptism? They had already been immersed based upon their faith. They were obedient to that faith. It says, there's no resurrection. Your faith is in vain. It's empty, it's futile, it is worthless. We are even found to be misrepresenting God. That's an interesting, I was going to say, dire comment. That's D-I-R-E, not D-Y-E-R. That is a dire comment. What happened to those who lied to God? Well, we've got an example. Two people who lied not just to men but to God, and what happened to them? They met the consequences. Yes, they were killed. Of course, I'm talking about Ananias and Sapphira, because there it is written, you did not lie to men but to God, Acts chapter 5, verse 4. The resurrection is the power. It is the dynamite of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Get down to it. If there's no resurrection, then Christ has not been raised. And if he's not been raised, he couldn't make a sacrifice for your sins. So, what does that mean? Bottom line, you're still with your sins. See, we're still convicted. The necessity of the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus proves the resurrection that is coming. His conclusion in verses 18 and 19 are, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. The word perished, apollum, means to utterly destroy. They are gone. When memory leaves, they are no more. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are to be the most pitied. Why? We've given up all the pleasures of life. We've given up the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We've given it all up. Because Jesus said, what? Jesus said, you can't carry the baggage and carry the cross. Let him first, what? Deny himself and follow me. Paul's argument is that we are the most miserable. This word, eleos, is used only here and in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Talking about the suffering, the agony, the miserableness. If this is it. You can also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and following about Paul's own persecution. But to sum it up, if there's no resurrection, Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain, we're lying about God, you're still in your sins, the dead have perished, and we are to be the most pitied. Boy, what an evangelistic thought. Doesn't that sound evangelistic? Not quite, huh? That's if there's no resurrection. But we've already got the testimony of the 500. We've already got the testimony of the apostles. We've already got the testimony of Cephas. We've already got the testimony of Paul. We can see the results. The tomb was empty. And Jesus rose from the dead. There is life after death. There is a resurrection. So as we look at our outline, we've looked at the proof of the resurrection, or for the resurrection of Christ, the consequences for denying it. Now let's take just a few moments to step into the necessity for the resurrection, verses 20 through 28. But in fact, Christ, now I will admit, those of you who use the ESV, the in fact is an editorial note. That is not in Greek. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But in each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and every power, he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put under subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. And verse 28. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be in all, or may be all in all. What is the necessity? The necessity is God gave Christ all authority. God put every command. Isn't that what Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says? For all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Hebrews chapter 1. He raised him up, speaking of the Son, he raised him up above all of his companions, all those who would be rulers, all of those who would claim to have a kingdom. God raised up. Until he rose him up as a garment and puts him away. Well, that's an introduction into that third point, the necessity for the resurrection. In it is the power of God. If there's no resurrection, there is no power. The theory of God creating the heavens and the earth and going on vacation could be true. But the proof of the resurrection demonstrates His power and His love for us. Well, I'll give you that introduction and we'll pick up there, Lord willing, next week.